looking for answers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Remember the government rescue of AIG? A new report on last year's bailout of the insurance giant says the Federal Reserve Bank of New York mishandled some important parts of the negotiations. From our New York City Bureau, Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
AIG was the biggest insurance company in the world. It had contracts with banks to insure complex securities. When AIG started to fail, the government was afraid it could take the whole banking system with it. So the Fed jumped in to keep AIG from defaulting on its contracts with those banks. But the audit says the New York Fed should have negotiated a lower price for the contracts. Instead, it paid too much to get other banks to close out their business with AIG. The German bank UBS reportedly agreed to accept a discount, but when other banks complained, the Fed went ahead and paid full price. Those banks, including Goldman Sachs, said it wouldn't be fair and might even be illegal for the government to make them take losses from AIG. In his audit, Neil Barofsky, the special inspector general, says the Fed refused to use its considerable leverage to make the banks take the loss. The Fed says it acted appropriately and that the way it dealt with AIG was designed to prevent a system-wide collapse, which it says it managed to do. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
A worldwide rally yesterday turned into a little give back today. European markets are lower right now, under 0.5%. Asian shares ended the day down. Wall Street yesterday, some positive retail numbers, and you'd think investors had some confidence going forward. The S&P tacked on 1.5%, about the same for the NASDAQ. The Dow was up 136 points to end the day at 10,406. This morning, the National Partnership for Women and Families unveils findings from an 8-year study. It compares workplace protections around the globe and their effect on economic competitiveness, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
When it comes to laws that protect workers when they're sick or prevent employers from demanding 7-day work weeks, the U.S. is not exactly a world leader, says Jody Heyman, a professor at McGill University.
163 countries around the world guarantee paid sick leave. The United States doesn't. 157 make sure you have at least one day off each week.
And you guessed it, the United States doesn't. One reason, U.S. firms fear being left at a competitive disadvantage. But Heyman found many competitive economies, like Japan's and Germany's, offer greater workplace protections. Deborah Ness is president of the National Partnership for Women and Families.
It puts to rest many of the claims that are repeatedly made that putting in place family-friendly workplace policies will cost jobs or hurt our nation's competitiveness.
Ness says the lack of workplace protections can easily hurt the economy. For instance, no mandatory paid sick leave means thousands of workers head into the office every day with the flu. The disease spreads. Everyone suffers. I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 1,600 universities and colleges teach and manage 10 million students with software from SunGard Higher Education. More information at sunguard.com. Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
There's been some criticism aimed at the National Association of Realtors for acting too much like a cheerleader during the height of the housing bubble. The organization's previous chief economist stepped down after his rosy picture of the economy clashed with reality. So has the industry changed its sales pitch? To find out, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler recently attended the group's national convention in San Diego.
Realtors have a way with words. That's how a window looking out on industrial smokestacks gets described as a panoramic view. They always find a bright side. That was true when I asked realtor Susan Herrick from Ventura, California, if there's ever a bad time to be in real estate.
When your escrow doesn't close. No, it's always a good time.
But the leadership at the National Association of Realtors is more reserved.
People should not say buy, buy, buy at all times. I think that's irresponsible.
That's the association's chief economist, Lawrence Yoon. He's not suggesting that the National Association of Realtors bears any blame for that buy, buy, buy mentality. But Yoon says realtors should challenge over-eager consumers.
If the consumers are trying to stretch their budget, it's for the realtors to perhaps calm their enthusiasm to say stay within the budget.
NAR's president-elect Ron Phipps downplays the association's role in helping to inflate the housing bubble.
While we may be very confident And maybe on occasion we're exuberant about the opportunity, it really was a national enthusiasm about ownership and the opportunities.
Phipps says the association still sees opportunities in this market, but its tone has become more cautious.
We're encouraging people to buy houses they can afford. We've done that, but without as much discipline as we probably could have had in the past.
Looking forward, Phipps says,
we believe that the future, based on our immediate past, looks really, really good.
Just don't call him optimistic.
Optimism? No, we're pragmatic.
Others see optimism as a necessary characteristic in the job description. Yvette Gamet is a realtor from Orlando, Florida.
You have to be optimistic. You have to be smiley and give the good news. The market is perfect.
Housing markets are far from perfect. The number of foreclosures is expected to increase in the short run, and economists are concerned about a double-dip recession. Still, the National Association of Realtors predicts home prices could rise by 3 to 5% next year, though for some parts of the country, that's optimistic. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, an elusive con artist is off the streets of London and out of the banking business. A 32-year-old man pleaded guilty of stealing more than $5 million using his cell phone and internet cafes. He would call HSBC, Royal Bank of Scotland, and other big financials posing as corporate clients. He'd gather small bits of information on the phone and then later use that information to make fund transfers. After the scams were done, the man would call victims boasting of the fraud's success. And then he'd call his mother, all from the same cell phone he used to call the banks. According to police, that was a big mistake. Oh yeah, using his library card to access those internet cafes? Not so smart either. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.